Every time I come here, Pastor Ty gives me a passage to preach. He's nice. He's like an angel, him and Angie. They're very good people. But Pastor Ty gives me a hard passage to preach. Before the last time when I came here, he asked me to preach from the text, Jesus chasing away, whipping them people out of the temple. What should I preach? Should I whip bad guys from the church? Hey, how are you going to support me? And now he gives me this passage from Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to chapter 4, verse 1. We preach in Colossians from our church. I preach most of my sermons, at least 60% to 70%. This is one sermon I did not preach. He asked me to preach chapter 4, verses 2. I was happy because I have that sermon. I can modify it. Then he changed his text. So I don't know what's coming next. Anyhow, this is a rich text. I got to learn a lot. It's a beautiful text. In fact, chapter 3, not only verses 22, but if you look at the previous verses from 18 onwards, we see this is one section of Paul's pericope, means a big section. In the earlier section, we talked about wives and husbands. And then he talked about parents and children. And now he talks about slaves and masters. This is the third household responsibility. You may be asking, wait a minute, slaves and masters, what's the household responsibility? Yes, the ancient household was often larger than our typical modern nuclear family, wife and husband, kids. Once they're 16, they're gone. It was not like that. In the ancient days, when they get married, most of them try to live in the same house with the grandkids. And the slaves were also a part of the family, although they will be working with them. So he's talking about the household three relationships. And today, we're going to look at the third one, slaves and masters. And master's responsibility, all the men, master's responsibility is threefold. Husband, number one, verse 19. Fathers, verse 21. And now we are masters. If people working under you, employees, you're a master. Not necessarily slave master, but employer and employee. All these three related roles carried out by the head of the household. This is a rich text. Much of our lives refer to this text since most of us spend our time at our workplaces. What does the Bible say how we should work in our places? That's important. So masters and slaves. Slaves work well. Masters lead well. The theme that I'm going to speak to you this morning is work heartfully and lead gracefully. If you're a worker, if you're an employer anywhere, work heartfully. If you're a boss or people working under you, you're a boss in a way, lead gracefully. It's a wonderful text. That's what we're going to see of it. Some of us are workers, some of us are bosses. Some of us are both workers and bosses. Only two people are bosses here, me and Pastor Ty. We're bosses. You know what does it mean? Bosses means we are answerable to the real boss, God. You see that? It doesn't mean that we bosses, we live as if, no. We are accountable to God and we have people. We are both employer and an employee. We don't have masters and slaves relationship now, but we have employer and employee relationships. If you're an employer this morning, your complaint is about your employees, that they're not working well. If you're an employee, then your complaint is about your boss. My employer is not a good boss. We murmur at him. If you're both employer and employee, your employee, and also you're an employer. There are people who work under you, but at the same time, you're also answerable to some people. Then our complaint is both. We complain about our big boss, and we complain about our employees. So we talk about here, Paul talks about beautifully, he lays the foundation of our work ethics, by the way. And nowhere it's beautifully written as it is here. Three things that I want to speak to you. Number one, to the servants, employees, to the masters, to the bosses, to the employee, to the employer. And thirdly, all people, no matter whether you're an employee or an employer. Here's the outline. Servants, serve faithfully. Number two, masters, lead fairly or gracefully. Number three, all, employer, employee, whatever your category is, all, work as unto the Lord. Work as unto the Lord. Whatever the relationship we have, whatever we do, we work unto the Lord, that God is watching us. Let's dive into the first one. Servants, serve faithfully. We have that written here in chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. But let me read for you verse 22. Bond servants means employees, bond servants, obey in everything. That's a hard phrase, obey in everything. Those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. This refers to our earthly work. Not necessarily this refers to God's ministry, how much you're involved in God's ministry in the church or evangelism or leading a team, going to a mission trip, leading a community group. Paul is not talking about that. He's talking about the work that we do outside from Monday to Friday. And he says all employees are bond servants in a way, are slaves, doulos. Because Paul himself said, I'm a free man, but at the same time, I'm a bond servant, slave to Jesus Christ. Slave to Jesus Christ. Slave situations in the ancient times was different. They're most of the times, they're victims of war. The war could cause them to lose everything and sold out into slavery. Suppose a nation or a kingdom went against another kingdom and they were defeated. The king who was victorious would bring slaves, would bring people. That people can be anybody, beginning from the royal family. Kings and their wives, and their daughters and sons, the rich people, the landlords, and we have the beautiful example of that. When the Jewish land was taken by the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar took them, starting from the royal families, and all the skilled workers were taken away. It was only the poor manual laborers were left out in the Jewish land, in Israel. The rest of them, all good people, all tech people were all taken away from that. So imagine you're gone there. Your situation had changed overnight. You were a rich person, landlord, belonged to your royal family, or a king, or a princess, somebody. But online, situation had changed. Now all of a sudden, until then you were a boss, now you turn out to be a slave. Once you go there, you're a slave. All of a sudden, how can a boss could be a slave? They had to learn how to be a slave. That's the most hardest thing that we see that. Back in those days, slavery was not a racial issue. It is a political and economic issue. And Paul talks about here about that kind of slavery. Once you're a slave, you have no right to do anything because you're a bond servant. It is to that kind of slavery Paul refers to. And he says there are four things he tells to all the slaves. And especially, he's writing to Colossians. I understand from this letter that there are a lot of slaves in the church at Colossae. So he's writing to the Christian slaves, which means all these are very applicable to each of us who are employees as Christians at somewhere or other. Whatever your employment is, whether you're a janitor, or you're a doctor, or a nurse, software engineer, or a teacher, whatever it is, working in a shop, whatever it is, and wherever it is, we are all employees. And these commands that Paul gives are applicable to each of us, Monday to Friday. That's where we work most of the time. And four things he gives. Number one, he says, obey in everything. Obey in everything. In the previous section, we saw wives ought to obey their husbands. Husbands ought to love. Children ought to obey the parents. Of course, parents not provoke the children. Wives ought to obey. Children are to obey. And Paul tells the slaves now, obey to your masters, obey in everything. The word obey is different than submission. It's not submitting. Okay, you're my boss. I have to do. I will do it. I'll submit myself. I don't like it. We don't say it outside, but we murmur it. That's submission. Obedience is different. You don't murmur it. You like it or not, you do it. That's obedience. Obey to your masters in everything. There are a large number of slaves in Colossian church, and he's writing to them. As good Christians, Paul encourages every slave to obey their masters in all things. Some slaves from the church at Colossae wanted to escape their slavery and run away because they have Christian masters. And one of the examples was Onesimus ran away from the church, and they see him as a model, as a hero. They see Onesimus as a hero. Just like Onesimus has escaped, I would also escape and run away. To which, in that context, Paul writes, no, you do not run away. Obey everything to your masters. You may not like your master, you may not like your boss, but you got to obey. And then he says, in the obedience, and then he moves on and says, how do you obey? He gives two phrases. Number one, he tells, sincerity of heart, which means singleness of heart, not being double-minded, whether I would do it or not, I like it or not. No, single-minded, as if you like the work, even if you don't like the work. Learn to be a good slave, just like in the olden days, how the slaves from the royal families learned to be slaves. We need to be slaves. We learn to be slaves with undivided focus, not performing the show. Doing your work not just to impress others, but you're doing it for God. Remember that. Any work that we do, name it your work, is spiritual. The most mundane work or frustrating job becomes meaningful work when it is done for Christ. Whether you're scrubbing a floor, leading a team, or even me preaching a sermon, God looks at the heart and behind the task. I can prepare my sermon for 40, 45 minutes and preach, but I go to the text and see what it will teach me first. As I was doing my text, I worked hours and hours and hours together and what it taught me. I learned something new that I had never knew it before from this text. And that's what I want to communicate to you. Because every text is precious, inspired by God, and every text communicates a special message, and that's what it communicates here. Let me give you a practical illustration here, a story that really happened. You know, India has a large railway system. That's the main mode of transportation. Many years back, a railway employee, an officer, was a Christian. And all his employees, there were about 500, 600 people under him. They all wanted to go on strike, not to work. He called them the next day before they go for strike and said, here's what you're going to do. You know, if you stop working, you know what will happen? how many tens of thousands of people will not go to work? Will not go to work because of their no trains. As a result, how many people in their offices, in their workplaces will suffer? And the goods trains will not operate. As a result, all the vegetables, all the groceries that were supposed to go in the goods trains will be stopped, and therefore the prices that are there in the vegetable market and the groceries will be raised. Think about it, how many people will suffer? Now, do you think, is it worth to go for strike or not? These employees never thought about it. But this employer, this boss, knew he was a Christian. He knew the Bible. He knew what the principle is. He knew how people are going to suffer because he understood the work, a Christian work ethics. And he told them, to which they are not aware of it. And they called out the strike. They called out the strike. Work heartily. That's the next one he says. With sincerity of heart. And then he uses a different words. Work heartily. Means from your soul. From all your being. Your mind. Your heart. Your life. With all your strength. Work heartily with your whole being. With all your inner being. Knowing that Jesus himself is your boss. Not the employee. If you're having a hard time with your employee, remember the real employee that God had hired you for that work. You know, during the COVID time, we praise the doctors who have sacrificed, worked with the patients, COVID patients, who some of them lost their lives during the treatment. But you know, there are a second kind of workers that worked faithfully. The garbage people and the sanitary workers. What if they did not clean up the garbage, clean up our offices, whatever it is? Sanitary workers did not do their job. How many lives would have been lost as a result of it? In India, you know, we have. If you're a higher employee, they look at you different. If you're a cheaper employee, they look at you different. You go to the malls or any places, you see the security guards or some other people, or even sanitary workers, they're all looked down. They don't even look at them as people. You know, we shout at them. But after the COVID has ended, a lot of places, they call all the sanitary workers and the garbage people, they honor them for the first time. Because they realized if they did not clean, as a result of the COVID, many more would have been died. They honored them. They said, you're more than doctors. You have done your service well. How do I work heartily? How do I work with sincerity of heart? How do I obey everything to my employer says? Because it says here, fear the Lord. In fearing the Lord. That's what it is. Obey in everything. Sincerity of heart. With all your heart, fearing the Lord. That's it. You fear the Lord. God is watching even when no one else is watching. You see that? That's fearing the Lord. When God is watching, you know that I'm working for my God, my master, my employer. I work well. I work well because he's watching me. My boss is watching. My boss is recognizing or not. It doesn't matter. So what does it happen if my boss, my real boss, Jesus Christ is watching? We will come to that towards the end of it. We'll come to that towards the end of it. This is how we work, how one should work. Obey in everything. Obey in everything. Is it hard? Very hard. Very hard. Sincerity of heart, singleness of mind, with all your heart. Yes, because we fear the Lord. And then Paul tells how we should not work. How we should not work. He uses two phrases, not by way of eye service, and then he says, not people pleasing. Eye service. When the master's eye is on you, you work well. Welcome to the hypocrite's life. Master sees well. I don't know about here. We have it more in India. Especially when I'm coming to my campus, my office. Oh, everybody, go straighten up. Everybody will start. I see that every time. Especially, I used to have a cook who cooks for the entire seminary and the children. He's all of a sudden, he'll be attentive. He'll come to me with a smiling face and say, "Sir, you want tea? Want tea? Want tea? What can I get you?" But others, no, it's not. Not by way of eye service. Your earthly master may not be watching you, but your heavenly master is watching you. You may get your paycheck from your earthly master at the end of the month. At the end of the month. But from your heavenly master, it's going to be a lot thicker, bigger paycheck. Not to please men. Not pleasing men. Do not leave. Do not live to please your master. That they may see. If he sees me that I'm working good, he will promote me. He will do me bonuses. That should not be the way. We must move away from the eye to the heart service. Remember, the heavenly master searches the motivations of our heart. Not only pleasing men, but we should please God. Not only how we work, but God also sees the motives, how we are working. Are we working with grumbling and murmuring or a different thing? Paul said beautifully in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 31 to 33, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Whatever you do. I don't know what works you're involved in. Me and Tyre in God's ministry, so we see that. Everything. It doesn't mean that we don't murmur sometimes when you have a bad people, when you work with a large staff. Yes, Gina, good people, bad people, ugly people, they always be there. Always be there. Always be there. And it's much more harder when you see an ugly person in the ministry, because to deal with that person is much more dangerous. See that we are in dangerous situations sometimes. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Wherever you're working, do all for the glory of God. How come your work is related to the glory of God? We'll come to that part. I'm saving the best part to the end. Because Paul saved it to the end. And Paul said in Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 4 and 5, God tests our hearts, mean our motives, how you're doing it. How you're doing it. Let me tell you a story that took place during the Second World War in Korea. Some of the American soldiers were placed in Korea. They hired a Korean cook, a man of very patience. And he never showed his anger at any time. These soldiers tried him many ways. You know, he would scrub the floor, and then they will pour out all the trash. He'll come back. He would say, "Why did you do that?" Purposely. He would come back, and he would clean it. He would never say one word. And then they will tie up his shoelaces, one shoe to the another, and they would hide his shoes. And they remove his shoelaces. Every day they do suffer. They do a different thing to bug him so that he will get angry. But they had never seen him getting angry, but he's always calm and quiet. One day the soldier said, "Man, we tried many ways. This man is so patient, so humble. So we should confess him, and that we will not do once again." So they called the cook and said, "We are very sorry. We are torturing you every day. We are sorry. We apologize. We're not going to do it hereafter." The man looked at him and said, "So tomorrow onwards, no trash after clean floor, no hiding my shoes, no hiding my shoes, nothing. Then I will not spit in your soup from tomorrow onwards." He's quietly doing it, yes? The motives. The motives. I know you're not going to eat soup today. Slavery of every age rested their hopes of justice of the truth. Friends, if you're tired with your boss, employer, there is a day for you. Well, let's move on to now the masters. We see that we skip to chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, "Masters, treat your bondservants." I'm leaving the middle section. We'll take that towards the end. Masters, slaves are over, now we'll move to the masters. The middle section talks about both slaves and masters, so we'll save it. Masters, treat your bond servants, your employees, your slaves, justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. First time Paul brings out, you also have a master in heaven. Masters, bosses, employer. You also have a master. You also have a big boss. In Greek, it means provide justice, fairness to your slaves. Don't treat them because they don't have any rights. They don't have any rights. Give them what is due to them and treat them as human beings. We know the story of Philemon and Onesimus. Philemon was a Christian. Onesimus was not a Christian at the time. He ran away. But on his run, there are two things happened. He met Paul. Onesimus met Paul. And Onesimus was a runaway slave who came into contact with Paul, and he was saved now. And Paul said, I'm sending him back to Philemon the master. He's serving me here in the prison, but I'm sending him back. It's a very hard decision. But he sent Onesimus back. Onesimus might have had mixed feelings. That's a hard decision to go back to his own master from whom he ran away. But he went. And then Paul places a spiritual condition of Onesimus. You can have Onesimus back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother, in verses 15 and 16 of that book, Philemon. It's hard, but he went back. Christian leaders, we need to know how to care and treat those who work under us fairly and gracefully. This does not limit to the employees that are Christians, but others that are not Christians. It doesn't differ where they came from, where they come from, how they look, what their color is, Christians or non-Christians. Because you are a Christian, this is your attitude, you need to treat them fairly. And the reason is well mentioned here, because you have a master in heaven to whom you and I are accountable. Some of the slave owners back in those days would pride themselves up, showing I have this many slaves, slaves in my household. They're tempted to abuse their position. Employers, we do the same way too. We can definitely, there will be ways that we are tempted to show our authority, to misuse and abuse our powers. But we should not do that. That's why Paul said in Galatians, lead with justice and grace. The cross levels everyone. Even masters are accountable to Christ. There is neither a slave nor free, but we're all one in Christ Jesus, as Paul said in Galatians 3:28. Christian slave owners need to remember that they are answerable to a higher master, the Lord Jesus. That's why Paul said, I fear and tremble in serving you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, when I was with you in weakness, in fear, much trembling. I said, me and Ty doesn't have bosses, but this is what Paul said. Paul was an apostle. We have a boss. And Paul said, when I was with you, to the Corinthian church, when I was with you, in weakness and in fear, with much trembling, I served you. Because I know everything I do, I have to be accountable to God. We saw employees, we saw employers. And for both of them, we said, for employees, we said, obey in everything because God sees you work. You get your paycheck from your master, but there is a different paycheck that is coming. What is that paycheck? When are we going to get it? And who is going to give it? And how long that's going to last? Masters, treat your employees fairly because there is a master above you to whom we are accountable. Okay, I treat fairly all the people, not only Christians, non-Christians, good workers, bad workers, ugly workers. Well, it's difficult for me to do it. I do it because I have a master. So what do I get out of it? How am I be accountable to my master? And Paul concludes to both. And he says in verses 24 and 25. And he says, and what he says in 24 and 25 applies to both the masters and slaves, employers and employees. He says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive inheritance. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Did you ever think about it? I'm working in an office as an assistant to doctor, but I get a paycheck, but my master, my Lord, who myself as a Christian, he's going to give me a reward. Did you ever think about it? That's why he tells the employees, obey in everything. I know it is not going to be easy in obeying, in obeying all the time, but I have a different paycheck. It's coming. I have a different reward that is coming. My employer hired me, but really, I get a bigger paycheck from my Lord. I'm a master, I'm a boss, I'm an employer. I try to treat all the people well, good people, bad people, and all other people, but they give me a hard time. Why should I do it? Why don't I take a drastic action? It says, you get a reward. You know what is that reward? You see the word there? Inheritance. What is that? Inheritance. Slaves never, ever own property, ever. You know that? They're always slaves. But God says here, slaves, employees, or masters, you will get inheritance from me. And that inheritance is for you forever. That's the bigger paycheck we're talking about. The paycheck. You know why? Because you're serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord. That's why heaven's economy is different. We work in the earthly economy, but heaven's economy is much more different. Much more different. As a reward from the Lord Jesus Christ for your work, whatever job that you're in, whether you're an employee or whatever it is, or you're a master. Suppose if you don't treat well your employees, not being a big boss, or employee, you're not working well, what happens? Okay, if I work well, I get a reward from the Lord. That's an inheritance, which I get a thick paycheck forever, ever, as long as I live on. What if I'm bad? I'm not doing a good job. And then he says, for the wrong, verse 25, for the wrongdoer, that's the employee, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. If I don't work well from my heart, I don't obey, I don't treat the guys that work under me well, I'm a wrongdoer, and we will be paid back wrongly. I don't know how. I didn't exit that part, by the way. But you will be paid back. Remember, how? It says, there's no partiality with God. If he's rewarding you well, he obviously, for your unfaithfulness, he will do the reward differently. He's not only a reward for employees, but he's also rewards for employee. Not only for the workers, but also for the bosses. For the bosses. What an honest thing it is to know. I work here, I get my paycheck, whatever is the job, but my work is a holy, it's a sacred work because it is given to me by the Lord. Yes, I'm accountable to my master, my boss here, but much more than that, I'm accountable my real master to whom I am a bond servant, I am a slave, as Paul said in Romans 1. I am a bond servant to Jesus Christ. In conclusion, my time is over. Let me take one more minute. Conclusion. This is the last section of this pericope, which means a text that we are ending, the larger section. And the larger section of this text goes from chapter 3, verses 15 onwards. Wives, fathers, wives and husbands, fathers and children, and masters and slaves, because this is a household thing. This is the final section. With the section of household duties, there is one thing in common in all the three. With the husbands, fathers, and masters. Husbands, fathers, masters. How many of them are married? How many of them are married? Anybody? How many of them? Still, no. It's going to be good for you. How many of them married? I'm not tricking you. Married. Husbands, love your wife, which is covered by Pastor Ty. You know when you will be a good husband to your wife? Unless you learn to be a good wife first to your husband, Jesus Christ, you cannot be a good husband. You know what's coming? That's why you didn't raise your hand, yes? Right. Yeah. Unless you learn to be a good wife to your husband, Jesus Christ, you cannot be a good husband. You know what Isaiah said in chapter 54, verse 5? For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He called the God of the Holy Earth. For your maker is your husband. If your creator, your master, the Lord Jesus Christ, you is your husband, we men need to obey him as good wives to our husbands. When we do that, we will be a good husband to our wives. Amen? Number two, father, second responsibility. It says, do not provoke your children. Unless, fathers, unless you learn to obey as a child to your heavenly father. Unless you learn to obey as a child to your heavenly father, you don't know how to be a good father to your children. You will be provoking. And thirdly, masters, treat your bondservant justly. Unless you learn to be a slave, a bondservant, good employee to your master, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to give you rewards, eternal rewards, we cannot be good masters. That is to every person that is born on the earth. That includes Jesus Christ, who said at the end, in the prayer, Father, I want to be a good child. If it is your will, remove this cup from me. Again, he said, Father, if it is your will, let this hour pass by me. I don't want to take that hour of cross. But Lord, not my will. As an obedient child, as your bond servant, I obey you completely. Not my will. I don't like to, but I obey you. But I obey you. That's our master, who is also a servant, who is also a child, that obeyed to the Father. Let's all be like that children. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord. What a great text it is, Father, to see it. We are indeed blessed. We have learned something great. Otherwise, we would have missed much of it, much of the truth this morning, what we have learned. Bless us all so that we could be good children, be good fathers, and good servants. In Jesus' name we pray.